I'm Tamara Steele. In this week's show, New Brunswickers are reeling from the many impacts of COVID-19 as the province records its first case. And in a surprise move, the provincial budget passes 3 days after it was presented. Canada is looking at beefing up its employment insurance benefits in light of COVID-19 worries. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau told media on Friday they understand more work needs to be done to protect those people who need to isolate themselves.
We do not want any Canadian to have to worry about whether or not they're going to be able to pay their rent, whether or not they're going to be able to buy groceries or care for their kids or elderly family members.
Trudeau says the government is looking at ways to financially help Canadians who are unable to go to work. Economic observers are calling the Bank of Canada's latest interest rate cut a surprise. It went down 0.5% to 0.75%, something Finance Minister Bill Morneau says is part of the overall plan to help deal with the economic impacts of the COVID-19 virus.
The government of Canada is preparing a significant stimulus program to be released next week to stabilize our economy, to support businesses, and to protect Canadians during a difficult time.
And it was the second interest rate cut for the central bank this month. Canada's House of Commons going on a break in light of COVID-19 concerns. Outgoing Green Party leader Elizabeth May suggested it was a wise move to close Parliament down until April 20th.
And I think it's incumbent upon us to accept that we have to stop our work in this place and hope it's only for 5 weeks so that we can take on again the business of the nation.
The federal government is suggesting a need to change social practices to help prevent COVID-19 from being more widespread. Chief Public Health Officer Dr. Teresa Tam says large events, conferences, even religious gatherings should be curtailed for now.
We need to help prevent transmission of the virus, particularly if you're ill, do not attend large events or crowded places.
She also suggests greeting people with a wave or elbow bump instead of a handshake, hug, or kiss. New Brunswick's top doctor asking for people to practice social distancing during the COVID-19 outbreak. Chief Medical Health Officer Dr. Jennifer Russell says that means staying 2 meters away from other people.
This is something that is not a concept that we're used to. We're used to being able to give people hugs and kisses and also being able to like high fives and fist bumps and all those kind of things.
Russell recommends all non-essential mass gatherings of 150 or more people be canceled or postponed for now to reduce infection. The Horizon Health Network announced Thursday that anyone who traveled outside of Canada will not be allowed to visit any patient in their facilities for 14 days after they return. On Friday night, the provincial government announced all public schools in New Brunswick will be closed for 2 weeks, beginning Monday, March 16th. The decision during the first meeting of the all-party cabinet committee on COVID-19, early learning and child care facilities, including those located in schools, are not being closed. The New Brunswick government tabling a $10.2 billion budget, it said, will strike a balance between lowering the debt and addressing priority areas, among other things. The balanced budget includes a record $2.9 billion in health care spending, an increase of nearly 4%. Social assistance rates will increase for the first time since 2014, while the so-called double tax on apartments, cottages, and second homes will be reduced. Finance Minister Ernie Steve says the province will have another surplus in the upcoming fiscal year.
As noted in our recently released third quarter report, we are now projecting a surplus of $97.8 million for 2019-2020, an improvement of $74.6 million.
He did note the debt load still represents $18,000 for every man, woman, and child in the province. The leader of the People's Alliance described the second budget from the Higgs government as hitting the sweet spot in a lot of ways. Chris Austin likes a variety of spending increases for departments like education, health, and social development, and says the People's Alliance talked about changing the tax class structure for municipalities as they do elsewhere in the country, but that was not in the budget.
But the government has alluded to reevaluating the assessments on some of those industrial properties, which is good. The question is, what does that mean and how are they going to produce that. So we're going to be keeping an eye out for that.
Austin says the People's Alliance has always said the province needs industry, but it also needs fair and reasonable taxes. The Canadian Taxpayers Federation has mixed views about the New Brunswick budget. Atlantic Director Paige McPherson says they're glad to see the province is continuing to pay down its debt.
That's a really good news budget for future generations of taxpayers, because every time the government puts money down towards paying down the debt, it lightens that weighty burden on future generations.
But McPherson says they have concerns about the fact government spending continues to increase. She says government has little control over its revenues or outside factors, so in order for them to keep their debt reduction promises, they need to lower spending. New Brunswick's provincial budget passed in the legislature on Friday by a vote of 24-0. The Tories, People's Alliance, and Green leader David Kuhn voted in favor, while all other MLAs abstained. Before the vote, Kuhn said while this isn't a budget he'd present, it will make a positive difference for New Brunswickers.
To vote against this budget is to deny much-needed help for income assistance recipients. It is to deny help for young adults carrying crushing debt loads. It is to cancel pay raises for home support and group home workers.
Kuhn says he would have used the projected surplus for other things, like increasing social assistance rates even more and boosting wages for nursing home workers. If you've ever rented somewhere, you know it can be difficult to find places that accept pets. In some cases, landlords will also charge extra to allow you to bring your pets with you. These so-called pet fees are a point of contention between landlords, tenants, and the Residential Tenancies Tribunal in New Brunswick. Paul Sempe's Stephanie Sirwa spoke to Misty Stackhouse, a tenant who asked her landlord to refund her pet fee on the basis it was a prohibitive charge.
I was moving. My new landlord was the one that actually told me that the province holds damages deposits here. So when I contacted them, the rentalsmen, I found out that my landlord 3D property hadn't actually given my damage deposit to the rentalsmen, even though I'd lived there for a year. And then I found out that they were charging, my landlord was charging me a $25 pet fee that they weren't allowed to charge. So I actually had to fight to get my damage deposit sent to the rentalsman. And then for the last month that I lived at the unit that I lived at, I didn't pay the pet fee. So when I went to apply to have my damage deposit returned to me, 3D Property put a claim against that $25 pet fee that they're not allowed to charge. And they ended up having to withdraw their claim from the rentalsman because the $25, they lied on the application, said it was rental arrears, but it was actually the pet fee, so they had to withdraw their claim.
So are pet fees illegal?
Yeah, so a landlord is only allowed to charge rent, then they can charge a security deposit, and it can't be greater than 1 month's rent, and then they can charge a reasonable amount for services. So, like, if they do snow removal or if they do, landscaping or something, they can charge a reasonable amount for that. But under prohibited payments in the Residential Tenancy Act, they're not allowed to charge anything else besides those three things. And a pet fee, for instance, some people have said, pet fees for damages that, the pet may cause. But that's the purpose of a security deposit. And not only that, when a landlord finds out that they're illegally charging you something, they're supposed to give that back to you right away. And the claim for the security deposit, they're only allowed to go after your security deposit for damage to the apartment or back owing rent. Or if you have, say you pay your hydro and you move out and you don't pay that bill and the landlord has to cover it with St. John Energy, they could go after a little bit of your security deposit for that.
Even though there are some people who say that pet fees are charged for cleaning or for any damage or anything like that, that's technically not allowed.
Yeah, not even technically. It's not allowed. That's the entire point of your security deposit. And then say there was damages over and above, what your security deposit was, and that's your landlord's responsibility to take that tenant to civil court.
There are quite a few properties that I've personally seen that tend to charge pet fees. This is specifically 3D?
No, there's a ton of landlords in St. John charging pet fees. But my experience personally was with 3D, and they have 3D has 640, approximately 640 rental units that they manage. And so let's say half of that, so 320 of them were, 320 of them were charging a pet fee. They're one of the property management companies in St. John that do allow pets. But let's say 320 of them were charging the pet fee. That's like $7,000, $7,500 they're bringing in every single month in illegal fees. And they know that they're doing it. I already got my money back.
Okay. Did you have a specific contact at 3D?
Matt Doherty is the owner. When I contacted Matt Doherty to say, you charge me an illegal pet fee and you need to pay it back, he was like, I'm confident that what I did was right and I'm not paying it back. And I said, well, you can be taken to court. And he was like, take me to court. I don't care. So then I put my claim through the rentalsman again. But I actually had to call the deputy chief of the rentalsman because initially they told me because my tenancy was over, I couldn't make a claim against the illegal pet fee. And then I put a complaint in, and the deputy chief, Steve Gordo, called me back. And they actually went and talked to their lawyers because I was originally told that because my tenancy was over, I had no recourse. And he came back and told me that if it's been within 2 years, if they're actually breaking a law, so doing something that's against the Residential Tenancy Act, then that's when the rentalsman can step in and still work on the claim. So, yeah, so I was reimbursed my $300 at the beginning of February. I would have taken them to civil court for sure.
Have you heard from anyone else saying that they were going to be reaching out about this?
A number of people sent me messages and said that they're currently being charged. There's one lady being charged $50 a month for a pet fee, and numerous other people are paying this. And I actually even heard from a landlord that did not know that the pet fee was illegal. So,
what do you think you're going to do moving forward?
Well, what I hope happens is I hope that a lot of people put in a claim with the rentalsman, and I hope that with, the story getting out there and people realizing about this, I hope that somebody steps up and does something about it.
When you were in the process of moving, did you have any concerns that maybe asking for the pet fee money back would make you seem kind of like blacklisted to other landlords?
I definitely thought that, and I definitely worried about it. But I had actually, and so I already got in my place, and I was already moving, so I wasn't really worried for me personally about that idea. But I know that when I, talk to other people about, going to the media about this and making a big deal about it, a lot of them were really concerned that that would, affect my future ability to rent in St. John. So a lot of my friends and stuff were like, I don't know if I would do that if I were you. And it definitely does, because some of the people that I've spoken to about this too, they've mentioned to me that, well, if you bring it up before you sign the lease that the pet fees are illegal, the landlord can just be like, well, I'm not going to rent to you then. And there's also a couple of people that I've talked to that have been worried to make a big deal about it with their landlord because, they don't want to get kicked out. The one lady, her lease is, it's going to be renewed soon. So she doesn't want to make a big deal about it because she's afraid that the landlord's not going to renew her lease. So, yeah, that's definitely a worry. A landlord can't illegally charge you a fee and then kick you out or anything like that. And there's actual protections in the rental, in the Residential Tenancy Act. And so I really just hope that people go to the rentalsman, fill out the form.
I'm Stephanie Sirwa.
The owner of 3D Property Management, Matt Doherty, said in an email that he believes pet fees are permitted. However, he wasn't able to challenge that in court. He said this is a similar payment to charging a tenant for parking. After the interview with Misty Stackhouse aired, Paul Sambi's Stephanie Sirwal reached out to Service New Brunswick for clarification on pet fees. She wanted to know if they were prohibitive and what would happen to tenants who paid the fees and the landlords who charged them. She spoke with Steve Gourdeau, deputy chief of the Residential Tenancies Tribunal in New Brunswick, who said the tribunal cannot take proactive action.
Okay, I guess my first question is, what would constitute as an illegal fee?
The Residential Tenancies Act is very clear in saying that during a tenancy or when establishing a tenancy between a landlord and a tenant, the only fees that the Act permits are rent and a security deposit. It makes a small exception in relation to some specific services that may be agreed upon between the two parties. So basically, what our message is, it's rent and security deposit.
Okay, and do pet fees count as illegal?
Yes, they do. We've been saying there is no such thing as pet fees. So if a landlord is looking to somehow, in any way, include a fee in order to address what they may think would cause damage as a result of having pets or an issue with cleanliness because of pets, that is definitely a prohibited fee. And it's something that we would investigate and take action accordingly.
Okay. And if a tenant signs a lease with a fee, such as pet fee, on it, are they legally bound to it?
They're legally bound to the lease in relation to paying their rent and in relation to meeting the timelines involved with the lease. But they are not legally bound to an area in the lease that we refer to pet fees because they are a prohibited fee, period.
So I've been speaking to a few tenants, and one of the tenants told me that, well, a few tenants have told me that they've been given a choice of a rent increase of $25 to rehome their pets or to move out. How should they respond to that?
They should make an application for assistance to our office. If you go on the web and you query Residential Tenancies Tribunal New Brunswick, there is a very interactive website there with all sorts of information, and a tenant can make an application to us for assistance. They can go to a Service New Brunswick front counter, make the application there. They can do it online. So it's as easy as we can make it to make that application, and we will then deal with the case and the information we receive and take appropriate action as quick as we can.
Is that legal for a landlord to offer that choice?
It's to offer the choice in itself can become an issue we would deal with in relation to prosecution because it is a prohibited fee and it is something that can be dealt with through prosecution. So from time to time when we have a party, and it can be a landlord or it can be a tenant, that is consistently choosing to get around the Residential Tenancies Act and refuses to take part in mediation, which is our primary mandate is to mediate, then we may have to resort to taking the case to a prosecutor with a recommendation that we take the party to court. We don't like doing that. We try to do that as little as possible. It's rather rare that we take a case to court, but I have three or four right now myself. Other officers in our office have a few where we have no other options. We have to go to court because the party refuses to play ball, so to speak. But again, if we're talking pet fees, it is a prohibited payment. Doesn't matter if it's on the lease or not. Just to be absolutely clear, when a tenancy is established, there are two fees that are allowed. The one fee is rent. The other fee is security deposit. So I think what happens with some of the landlords that I've spoken to, personal friends of mine that may or may have had been owners of buildings in the past, some landlords who are not aware that a pet fee is prohibited charge the pet fee because they expect damage, scratches on the baseboards or doors, but that's what a security deposit is for. So pet fees are prohibited. whether they're in the lease or not.
Is there anything that would happen overall to a company that would be charging pet fees like this, or is it on a first, is it a come and make a complaint basis?
We have to be dealing with the people affected by this, the people involved in the tenancy. But to simply go after a company or a landlord because we heard that they may be, no, we can't do that. We need to hear specifics. We need to, we our officers are appointed adjudicators in the province of New Brunswick. They need to deal with facts before we can take action.
How should tenants proceed if they are concerned about basically harming where they're going to live?
Well, there are provisions in the Act where a landlord cannot, and we will investigate this, cannot evict or raise rent to a tenant because the tenant has made a complaint. In other words, there's a provision in the Act that talks about retaliation, and that is prohibited as well. And we will investigate each and every one of those cases, and we do from time to time. We don't get a lot of those cases, but tenants will complain to us and say, my landlord wants to raise the rent in retaliation because I made a complaint about repairs or whatever, and we will investigate those cases. So tenants can certainly feel secure in identifying their complaints to the landlord and to our office. And if as a result, they feel that there's some retaliation coming their way, we will investigate those as well.
And, of course, if there are landlords who have been mistakenly charging a pet fee, how do they go about making this work?
They should simply make restitution. That's the way that we've been mediating those cases. And just to be clear, I would suggest to you that most landlord and or management companies who have been charging pet fees are doing this not with an intent of overcharging. They're simply doing something they thought they were allowed. I don't think that it was well known that they could not do this, that it was a so-called prohibitive fee. So I wouldn't want to leave the impression out there that this is being done in an illful kind of way. It's just a lack of education, I believe, in most cases.
I'm Stephanie Sirwa.
Some of the tenants who use 3D Property Management Services said when they reached out to have their pet fees refunded, they were offered the choice of a $25 rent increase, a rehoming of their pets, or the opportunity to give notice and move elsewhere. In a statement to our newsroom, Matt Doherty, CEO of 3D Property Management, did not comment on the specific allegations. He wrote, "I believe I have the right to charge pet rent, and I've advised the rentalsman that I'm willing to test that in court. To date, they haven't taken me up on my offer." That's it for this week's show. I'm Tamara Steele.